The ringing of the bells is a traditional call to prayer. So we allow the sound, that ringing, to lead us to these 20 minutes of stillness and silence, in which we move to our deepest desire, which is simply to hear Jesus speaking directly to us. And to help us to do this in this Lectio Divina, we use the scriptures, the scripture passage of the day. And we begin by taking moments to prepare, to be comfortable, to be aware of your breathing. Perhaps a couple of yawns is a good way to put some oxygen into the lungs and to help us to relax, and then gradually allow your breathing to deepen. As you breathing out all anxiety, all worry, and on the in-breaths, breathing in all the good things that God has to offer you in these moments. Don't try to empty your mind. Simply allow what is ever there to be there. While these thoughts, these anxieties and worries might be a problem for us, they're not a problem for God. They're certainly not an obstacle to the work that Jesus is wanting to do with you in these moments. Become aware of the people for whom you wish to pray, for whom you are concerned. Be aware of those whose presence is encouraging you and giving you hope, but also be aware of those who you are finding more difficult. Be aware of the circumstances that are part of your life, the things that you are enjoying. And the circumstances that are more difficult for you, all of this we allow to be in our mind as we prepare to listen to Jesus speak to us. Allow your desire to hear the voice of Jesus to grow. Be aware of your expectation. Be aware of your need. The Gospel reading for Thursday of week 4 in Lent is John chapter 5, verses 31 through 47. Jesus said to the Jews, "Were I to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. But there is another witness who can speak on my behalf, and I know that his testimony is valid. You sent messengers to John, and he gave his testimony to the truth, not that I depend on human testimony. No, it is for your salvation that I speak of this. John was a lamp, a light and shining, and for a time you were content to enjoy the light that he gave. But my testimony is greater than John's. The works my Father has given me to carry out, these same works of mine testify that the Father has sent me. Besides, the Father who sent me bears witness to me himself. You have never heard his voice, you have never seen his shape, and his word finds no home in you, because you do not believe in the one he has sent. You study the scriptures, believing that in them you have eternal life. Now these same scriptures testify to me, and yet you refuse to come to me for life. As for human approval, this means nothing to me. Besides, I know you too well. You have no love of God in you. I have come in the name of my Father, and you refuse to accept me. If someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe, since you look to one another for approval and are not concerned with the approval that comes from the one God? Do not imagine that I am going to accuse you before the Father. You place your hopes on Moses, and Moses will be your accuser. If you really believed him, you would believe me too, since it was I that he was writing about. But if you refuse to believe what he wrote, how can you believe what I say? Don't try to remember now what you have heard in the reading. Don't try yourself to understand the reading. Simply, in stillness and silence, invite Jesus to reveal to you what it is that he wants you to hear in the scripture. Jesus said to the Jews, "Were I to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. But there is another witness who can speak on my behalf, and I know that his testimony is valid. You sent messengers to John, and he gave his testimony to the truth, not that I depend on human testimony. No, it is for your salvation that I speak of this. John was a lamp, a light and shining, and for a time you were content to enjoy the light that he gave. But my testimony is greater than John's. The works my Father has given me to carry out, these same works of mine testify that the Father has sent me. Besides, the Father who sent me bears witness to me himself. You have never heard his voice, you have never seen his shape, and his word finds no home in you, because you do not believe in the one he has sent. You study the scriptures, believing that in them you have eternal life. Now these same scriptures testify to me, and yet you refuse to come to me for life. As for human approval, this means nothing to me. Besides, I know you too well. You have no love of God in you. I have come in the name of my Father, and you refuse to accept me. If someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe, since you look to one another for approval and are not concerned with the approval that comes from the one God? Do not imagine that I am going to accuse you before the Father. You place your hopes on Moses, and Moses will be your accuser. If you really believed him, you would believe me too, since it was I that he was writing about. But if you refuse to believe what he wrote, how can you believe what I say?" Now that we have heard this reading with renewed ears, with deeper openness, speak to Jesus about your own life, about what you heard in this scripture passage. We've heard the reading, we've pondered, we've meditated on the words, we have spoken to Jesus about what we have heard. Now we come to the next phase of our prayer, the contemplation. It's often easy to talk about what we talk to Jesus about if we're expressing this to others, but contemplation, it can kind of seem as though we're wasting time or even daydreaming, but don't worry about that. We're simply going to gift Jesus the time in these minutes. We're not going to worry too much. We're going to give the responsibility for this prayer to Jesus. It's his turn now to speak to us. Let's listen. What do you sense, Jesus, saying to you? Again, don't worry too much if you feel as though your mind's wandering. We've given the responsibility for communication in these minutes, the responsibility for this prayer to Jesus. We're giving him the time, the work of this prayer. This prayer of contemplation is not our work, it's the work of Jesus. All we need to do is to give the time and to stay with our desire to hear his voice. And now we come to the final stage of this prayer, this Lectio Divina prayer, this holy reading time. A stage often known as the action stage, and we tend to think, now that I've heard the reading and meditated and spent some time in contemplation, what can I do? A better question is not what can I do, but Jesus, what are you calling me to do? Jesus, what are you inviting me to do? How are you calling me to change the way I think, the way I act, as a result of this time of prayer? As this time of prayer draws to a close, let's not worry too much about what we feel has happened or not happened in the time. The fact is, we gave these minutes to Jesus. And often when we don't think much has happened or we think we've been all over the place, they are the very times when, at a level deeper than our consciousness, Jesus has been working in us and through us. And so we conclude this time with confidence. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.